Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. He was, for many generations, America's dad, tearing down racial barriers and paving the way for a line of upcoming black entertainers to take the spotlight. But behind that good lies, and something else very bad, a disturbed, manipulative man seemingly obsessed with sex and would stop at no length to get there. Today, the story of Bill Cosby on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
American comedian Bill Cosby has been the subject of publicized sexual assault allegations, with the earliest incidents allegedly taking place in the mid-1960s, and his conviction for aggravated indecent assault happening in 2018. He's been accused by numerous women of rape, drug-facilitated sexual assault, sexual battery, child sexual abuse, and sexual misconduct. Assault allegations against Cosby became more public after a stand-up routine by comedian Hannibal Bruce, which became popular in October of 2014, alluding to Cosby's covert sexual misbehavior. Thereafter, many additional claims were made. The dates of the alleged incidents have spanned from 1965 to 2008 in 10 U.S. states and one Canadian province. Cosby has maintained his innocence and repeatedly denied the allegations made against him. He was asked about the allegations in November 2014 and responded, "I don't talk about it." He has declined to publicly discuss the accusations in interviews in the past, although he told Florida Today that people shouldn't have to go through that and shouldn't answer to innuendos. In May 2015, he said, "I have been in this business 52 years and I've never seen anything like this. Reality is a situation and I can't speak." Following the allegations, numerous organizations severed ties with Cosby and revoked honors and titles previously awarded to him. Media organizations pulled reruns of The Cosby Show and other television programs featuring Cosby from syndication. 25 colleges and universities rescinded honorary degrees. Adweek reporter Jason Lynch noted that the media landscape has changed considerably and has now been joined by the far less forgiving social media arena. More of the alleged acts fall outside the statute of limitations for criminal legal proceedings, but criminal charges have been filed against Cosby in one case and numerous civil lawsuits have been brought against him. As of November 2015, 8 related civil suits were active against him. Gloria Allred is representing 33 of the alleged victims. In July of 2015, some court records were unsealed and released to the public from Andrea Constrand's 2005 civil suit against Cosby. The full transcript of his deposition was released to the media by a court reporting service. In his testimony, Cosby admitted to casual sex involving recreational use of sedative hypnotic methaqualone, otherwise known as Quaaludes, with a series of young women, and he acknowledged that his dispensing the prescription drug was illegal. In December of 2015, 3 Class 2 felony charges of aggravated indecent assault were filed against Cosby in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, based on allegations by Constrand concerning incidents in January 2004. Cosby's first trial in June 2017 ended in a mistrial. Cosby was found guilty of 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault at retrial in April of 26, 2018, and in September 25, 2018, he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in state prison and fined $25,000 plus the costs of prosecution, $43,611. Cosby appealed on June 25, 2019, and the verdict was subsequently upheld and granted an appeal by the Pennsylvania State Court. So, who wants to hear this story? Of America's, this is something I never, ever would have even imagined, 10 years ago, that we'd be doing a dark show and the subject would be Bill Cosby. It's a dark side of Wikipedia, and I'm Tony Bruschi, Carol Hughes with me today. You know, I mean, it's just something, you know, never would have been on my radar.
This is one of those stories that I have a hard time with.
Yeah.
And for a number of different reasons. But I have a hard time putting it together in my head because I don't know Bill Cosby. But you think you do because he's so famous. And then the Cosby Show, like he seems, you know, he was the guy doing the Jell-O commercials with the kids. And he just seemed like this nice guy that you wanted to have in your life. You know, if you could hang out with Bill Cosby, you would do that.
Yeah.
And then this other side of him, and I kind of quickly did the math in my head, but it was like 43 years or something like that this went on.
Yeah.
And then like when I saw there was a, I can't remember if it was a magazine cover or a magazine, like a double spread or something in the magazine, but it was all the women who had accused him. And it was, there's so many women. So I'm like, there has to be something behind that. That many women don't just come out and go, hey, me too, me too, me too, me too.
No.
You know, and so it was just hard for me to put that all together in my brain, just like everybody else, because I'm like, and then I think that men with power, I think Harvey Weinstein's the same way, that they're entitled to it. They see it as consensual.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see what, I think that they probably at the beginning knew it wasn't quite right, but you've gotten away with it for so long now, it's just part of your life, and that's what women do.
And they came up in a time where, I mean, not that these things were ever okay, but society didn't punish it the way that it does now, which it should be doing it the way that it does now. But for so long, it was, if you were the victim of these things, you were punished. You were looked at as the bad person. And they got away with it for so long during those years that, you know, they're 20, 30 years into their lives and their careers and them doing this. Why would they think they'd have to stop? They've gotten away with it for so long, but society changed. And I think that's really the only thing that changed here is he didn't change. He's been doing this forever. Yeah. Same with Weinstein and shit like that. It's like society changed. Society finally said, look, we're not going to deal with this shit anymore from people like you. I don't care what your image is. That's not going to save you anymore, motherfucker. And, you know, it's such a sad story because in reality, someone like him, he did a lot of good outside of the horrible shit that he did. And he paved the way for many black entertainers. And, you know, it's sad that this is what he was doing at the same time. But, you know, there were barriers broken. The same way you can say Michael Jackson had a ton of hit songs and had massive impact on modern music, you know, with all the allegations against him. You can't discount the impact that these people made on society, but you don't have to make them out to be a saint or anything like that, because they're not. They're certainly not. They were messed up people that did horrible things. And along the way, they hit it pretty damn well with philanthropy and things of that nature.
And, you know, if you say, well, why didn't they say something then? Well, 40 years ago, you couldn't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then even with Harvey Weinstein, you know, he threatened or implied threat to their careers. So I'll make sure you never work in this town again. Well, if it's coming from a guy like him, mm-hmm. then, you know, and that's what you're choosing to do with your life and you've worked really hard at it.
And then you got to wonder a little bit. So these, you know, when we find out things like that, those are the threats that we know about. Those are the threats that never came through because he tried it and it got exposed. What about those threats to other people that were there other people in those lines of fire that said, you fucking threaten me all you want, I'm still going to do this. And then those threats came true. But they were never solved. They were never looked on as, yeah, Bill Cosby killed you. Or, yeah, Harvey Weinstein had you killed. Or, you know, this or that.
But there are women whose career did end.
Sure.
Because of Harvey Weinstein.
Yes, there are. There's many of them.
And it, I guess it depends on what the threat was, if it was of death or violence or just ruining your career. That can easily be shown. I'm just wondering if there's anything connected to any of these individuals that is even worse, much darker than that. That, you know, just, well, we found her dead of an overdose and, you know, no one's going to suspect Bill Cosby, you know, or Harvey, you know, Weinstein at those points in time.
Yeah, because if you're giving the women quaaludes and they're drinking.
Yeah.
And the women were passing out, so he had to have given them a pretty decent amount.
Yeah.
And I don't even get how you give someone a quaalude without them knowing it, but maybe, like, well, we'll get into that, because okay. It might have been like a, here, take this to relax sort of thing.
I think that's what he was doing, but let's get into the more of the meat of the story and find out all of Bill's magic touches that he had with the ladies.
I just hate that he was like that.
I know, it's so fucked up. Here we go. Let's continue in. The earliest allegations against Bill Cosby come on December 1965 when Christina Rorelli accused Cosby of drugging and assaulting her in his Beverly Hills, California home during that time. Rorelli alleged that at the time she told her boyfriend about the incident and also claimed that she later told her daughter about the alleged encounter in the 1980s. She would publicly speak about it in 2005 when she came forward in the Andrea Constrand case as Jane Doe number 12. In the early 1980s, Joan Tarshis told freelance reporter John Millward about the alleged sexual assault by Cosby. Millward did not write about the allegations. In 1996, Playboy playmate Victoria Valentino gave a videotaped interview in which she made sexual assault allegations against Cosby. The interview was conducted for an expose on the lives of Playboy models, which was never published. After the allegations resurfaced in 2014, Wendy Williams recalled that during her radio show in 1990, she referred to sexual assault allegations against Cosby that had been published in the National Enquirer tabloid. Williams said Cosby called her boss in the middle of the broadcast demanding that Williams be fired. Later allegations and investigations occurred starting on February 1st of 2000. According to a statement provided by Detective Jose McCallan of New York County District Attorney's Special Victims Bureau, Michelle Covington, who was 20 years old at the time, filed a criminal complaint against Cosby, alleging that on January 28th, 2000, at his Manhattan townhouse, he had tried to put her hands down his pants and then exposed himself. Covington also alleged that Cosby grabbed her breasts and tried to put his hands down her pants. Cosby was questioned and insisted it was not true. The New York City Police Department referred her complaints to the DA, but they declined to prosecute. In January of 2004, Andrea Constrand, the former Temple University employee, accused Cosby of drugging and fondling her. However, in February of 2005, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania's district attorney said there would be no charges due to the insufficient, credible, and admissible evidence. Constand then filed a civil claim in March of 2005 with 13 women as potential witnesses in the case went to court. Cosby settled out of court for an undisclosed amount in November of 2006. After learning that charges were not pursued in the Constand case, California lawyer Tamar Lucier Green, the only publicly named woman in the prior case, came forward with allegations in February of 2005 that Cosby had drugged and assaulted her in the 1970s. Cosby's lawyer said Cosby did not know her and that the events did not happen. In July 2005, Philadelphia Daily News interview, Beth Ferrier, one of the anonymous Jane Doe witnesses in the Constand case, alleged that in 1984, Cosby had drugged her coffee and she woke with her clothes partially removed. In 2005, Sean Upshaw Brown, a woman with whom Cosby admitted to having an extramarital affair in the 1970s, claimed to the National Enquirer that Cosby drugged and raped her the last time the two were together sexually. Brown is the mother of Autumn Jackson, who claims to be Cosby's illegitimate daughter. Jackson was conceived in 1997. Jackson was convicted in 1997 of extortion after she threatened to make the claims public in the Globe tabloid. In 2015, Brown went into more detail with her renewed allegations in interview. On June 9, 2006, Philadelphia Magazine published an article by Robert Huber, which gave graphic detail about Constand's allegations and the similar stories told by Green and Ferrier about how they stated that they too were drugged and sexually assaulted. With these severe allegations against Cosby, Huber wrote, his lawyers have gotten it pushed to a back burner down to a simmer, and maybe it will amount to nothing. Yet there is also the possibility that it will bubble up to destroy him. The article was titled Dr. Huxtable and Mr. Hyde, an allusion to both Cosby's character, Dr. Cliff Huxtable on The Cosby Show, and a person having two starkly distinct Jekyll and Hyde personalities. That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.